Hi, I'm Kyla.
And this is Jay.
And you are listening to Strange Fruit on WFPL.org.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Woo! Should old acquaintance be forgot? What's up, y'all? Well, it's a brand new year.
Yes.
2013. And we took a week off, but we missed you all. It wasn't quite the same not being here in the studio. Michelle, we were in the streets. We were partying. We were in the nightclub. We had a very festive.
It was very holiday festive.
We got to see family and friends. And so,
yes.
But we missed y'all and we're back. So let's hop right into it with a bit of juicy fruit.
Okay.
So I have the first thing to talk about. And those of you all who have been on social media this week know that Miss Fantasia Barrino has got the kids in an uproar. Fantasia Barrino is a former winner of American Idol, and she's very popular at like Black Gay Pride festivals. And even when she's not popular in mainstream society, she's kind of touring the circuit with the Black Gay children. And so the other day on Instagram, Fantasia kind of went on a little bit of a rant. And I'll just give you the gist of the rant. So Fantasia, for those of y'all who don't know, has had two babies behind this married dude. This guy was married. She met him in the T-Mobile store, and they had the first baby. And, you know, so people are really coming down on Fantasia from, number one, messing with the married man, number two, having these babies out of wedlock. And so her comment says, and I quote, "I rise above it all. The world has gone mad. Kids, the government, the church house, everybody's trying. It's a lot going on that the Bible speaks about we should not be doing. Weed legal in some places, gay marriage legal, but yet I'm judged. I'm not doing nothing for you, my life." So translation, because I know it's kind of, you know, she can't read, it's like Ebonics. But so Fantasia is basically saying, like, people are criticizing her for being with old boy and having these babies out of wedlock. Meanwhile, she says, I don't know why, it's difficult. I don't want to interpret what she says because I have my own opinion about what she says. But a lot of folks took it to mean that she's saying, oh, gay marriage, weed is being legal. It's a whole lot of, I guess, sinning going on. And so how dare y'all judge me for my sin when there's other sins going on?
Well, yeah, that's
how
what,
some people are taking it.
Well, that's what she said. I mean, what she said was, you know, everyone is going off on her and everyone has an opinion about the way in which she's conducted or organized or disorganized her life, particularly around her intimate partnerships. And she takes issue with the fact that everyone is celebrating gay people and legalizing marriage. Everybody is excited about weed smoke. She's basically saying that why aren't there just as many voices of dissent when it comes to legalizing gay marriage, when it comes to legalizing marijuana, things that you might see in the Bible as we are not supposed to do. I don't know about marijuana being in the Bible, but certainly, you know.
Red wine,
you know, whatever, shellfish. I mean, so she's saying that there are certain things that are cited in the Bible, and why is everyone coming down on her? Why is everyone judging her and the way in which she's lived her life and her personal relationships? If you're not going to in the same form judge people who smoke weed or people who are gay.
Yeah, so I get that. And I kind of infer the opposite. Not in terms of people should criticize gay marriage, the legalization of marijuana, but rather I took it to mean she's saying society is moving towards a more liberal kind of ideology.
Mm-hmm.
States are legalizing gay marriage. States are legalizing weed.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, we should also evolve in our thinking as it relates to relationships and family structure and partner violence. That's okay. Just how I took it, because again, she didn't make any kind of personal critique about it. What she's saying is there's a whole lot going on in the world. Oh, why do you all choose to judge me? You know, you know, again, I'm a Fantasia fan.
Okay.
You know, and oftentimes I judge you based on your actions. And
yes.
I know that at the end of the day, she's a performer and she wants that money. But, you know, but Fantasia has sung at Black Gay Prides from D.C. to Atlanta on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly the Black gays love Fantasia like they love Beyonce, like they love Kelly Rowland, like they love Carrie Hilson. So, I don't know. So, some Black bloggers were in an uproar and criticized her. Some folks said, I don't know, y'all reading too much into it. It is noteworthy that Fantasia came back a day or two later and said, no, that's not what I meant.
Okay.
I do support these communities, blah, 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 blah. So.
Okay. So she's saying that that's not how she meant to take it. Well, I mean, I think that you are giving her a lot, like a lot of credit. And I certainly can see your line of thinking in terms of, again, her citing gay marriage, her citing marijuana. It certainly leads to a certain type of form of logic that we are opening up our conventional notions of what we consider, quote unquote, morally right or right.
Or so we're expanding. Yeah.
Yeah, we're expanding the social and cultural acceptance of all of these other things. Why are we not, you know, broadening our horizons when it comes to women having children with men who are married?
No judgment. No judgment, child.
Yeah, you know me, honey. I mean, I'm not, you know.
We're not big on we're not big on marriage, you know. But
at the same time, you know, I don't want to say we're not big on marriage.
Well, I'm not big on marriage.
I'm not big on marriage.
I mean, I certainly respect marriage, but as a gay person, marriage doesn't mean much of anything to me because I see so many straight people who so callously just, you know, that's a whole other topic, you know.
I mean, that's like sexual. Yeah.
No, I mean, but that's how I feel. I mean, I feel like marriage is a wonderful institution.
Yeah.
For those who subscribe to it. But again, let's look at popular culture. Look at Kim Kardashian. Who else can we look at? I mean, name anybody in pop culture. I mean, are they big on marriage? Are straight folks big on marriage? Do they respect, you know, boundaries?
Do they respect marriage? Right. I mean, I agreed. Yeah. No. And
church folks. So she's like, ooh, all your church folk are judging me. But, I mean, so I think she's saying there's a lot of madness going on in the world, including the church house, i.e. Bishop Eddie Long, i.e. Catholic priest, i.e., you know, the first lady sleeping with the choir director. You know, so she's like, ooh, keep it real. Are black folks, religious black folk, all of a sudden so, you know, so moral and have such high regard for relationships?
Yeah,
and
I mean, I understand, but you know me. I'm just, like, not an advantage because she can't read. I mean, I'm just, like, I feel like she needs to learn how to read. I feel like that is,
she can read, child. She's functionally illiterate.
Oh, okay. So I don't understand what that means. Does that mean you can't get a job because you can't read?
No, that means she can write a name. She probably can write her middle name. You know, she can sign them contracts.
Is this,
after her lawyer gives it the once-over, but beyond
is this 1817? Where African Americans are prevented from reading. I mean, to me, that's ridiculous. I mean, I just feel like, Vantasia, the first thing you need to do is read. You need to learn how to read, whether it's hooked on phonics. I mean, she has multiple children. I'm sure they're learning how to read. I mean, does she not want to also learn with her children? I mean, who's teaching them how to read? Not her, most certainly. I mean, I think there's certain things that she should line up and organize in such a way. Reading being the first one, right?
Reading is fundamental.
Reading is fundamental, and it's necessary, okay? Because everything is in words. I mean, including the ATM machine. I mean, giving birth. I mean, all this. I mean, are you reading pregnancy books? I mean, you can't read it. I mean, I don't understand. Right? So that's first. And then second, you know, I could care less if she has kids with a married man. I mean, if the man is married or if he has kids with her. I mean, I don't care about all that. You know what I mean? But my issue is I hate when people are kind of put on some type of, they have some kind of cross to bear. And the communities that are seen as subversive communities or counterculture communities, right, that have supported them and had their back for a long period of time, as soon as they have some cross to bear, it's time to throw them under the bus. And whether it was a quick rhetorical strategy and she really didn't mean it, or whether, you know, she's been exploiting gay people the whole time. I mean, we can't make it seem as if, you know, people who spend money in gay communities or support gay things, that it's not about money. I mean, we live in capitalist society and gay people buy a lot of stuff. We're consumers. So, you know, it doesn't mean that people, if they sing at prides, that somehow they're down with gay people or
true.
That they're not homophobic. They're just like, hey, they're going to pay me a whole bunch of money because they're obsessed with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Same with black people, same with, you know, communities of women. I mean, you know, so, you know, me, I just feel like, ooh, you can't read, I can't trust nothing you say. You don't read. I mean, that's like, you know, I tell my students that. I tell my students the same thing, you know, like, not reading.
Yeah, I feel you. But Fantasia, just so everybody knows, Fantasia comes back out and says a day or so later, quote, "It has been brought to my attention that something I said was taken out of context. I, Fantasia Monique Barino, don't judge anybody because I don't want to be judged. The gay community is one of my largest supporters. I support the gay community as well as they support me. Bloggers, please stop misrepresenting the facts." So,
that was cute.
I still got your back, Fantasia. Whatevs. There's one more thing that caught my attention this week. Something particularly noteworthy was there's a boxer, a professional boxer named Orlando Cruz. And he's a Puerto Rican dude, and he came out of the closet last year, 2012. And so, you know, Anderson Cooper got a lot of support and recognition, as did Frank Ocean. And Orlando Cruz sort of went unnoticed, but, you know, I thought it was really cool that, number one, he's a professional boxer. Number two, he's Puerto Rican. And I think that as few images as we have of, you know, black queer folk in the media, we have even less of brown queer folk. So I thought it was pretty cool that he came out of the closet.
Yay.
Orlando Cruz. And he's cute, too. So
all right, Orlando. If you get a chance, we're happy to have you.
If you get a chance, child, I want to have him. So if you get a chance, child, Google Orlando Cruz and check him out. And you know, it's really cool that Puerto Rican brother came out of the closet. So
yay.
The main thing we're going to talk about today is the new movie, Django Unchained.
Yes, by Quentin Tarantino. That was just released, I think, Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
When I watched the previews, it seemed like, oh my God, is this going to be a coontastic film or what? You know, I thought it was going to be this kind of slapstick, you know, extremely jovial take on enslavement and the West and history. And I, you know, was going to be disturbed by it. Now, for me, I wouldn't say I'm a Quentin Tarantino fan. I liked Pulp Fiction. And Tarantino just has a lot of controversy surrounding him. And also him as a director and an artist wanting to depict black narratives and use black characters. So I had all that going into the theater, you know, but I was, you know, I was going to be, you know, so I was trying to pay attention. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to get mad. I'm ready to get salty.
Because a lot of people, you know, yeah, like bloggers and people on Facebook, yeah, were certainly chiming in with their commentary.
But everybody kept saying like, "Oop, I'm just don't have no com- I don't have no comments, or I don't have no commentary, or I wanted to walk out." But no one ever said,
explain
like, yeah, why, like A, B, and C as to why they had problems with the film. And so for me, I'm like, well, I have to see it. I mean, I'm teaching Intro to PAS this spring, and you know, if it's a film that's depicting enslavement, and whether it's fictional, right, or not, I want to see it. So you know, my students know how they should see it. And I mean, I loved it. I mean, I loved it. Now, again, Tarantino has little things like it was extremely violent, extremely brutal, but it was necessary, you know, to me. the, you know, enslavement as an institution was one of the most insidiously grotesque institutions within American history. It was extremely violent, brutal, dehumanizing to enslaved African people. And the fact that Tarantino as an artist, as a white artist, white male artist, decided to take on this kind of institution and then use that institution as the backdrop for a kind of humorous Western film, I mean, I thought it was phenomenal. I mean, you essentially have a kind of Nat Turner black American freedom fighter. I feel like Jamie Foxx's Django is almost an amalgamation of Nat Turner, John Brown, a lot of the Harriet Tubman, a lot of the famous enslaved African. Well, John Brown, he's a white man, you know, he was a Quaker. He just felt like, you know, white people being unnecessary, so he decided to kill him. But, you know, everybody loved John Brown. But again, these figures were extremely, like, they were extraordinary figures during a time in which any type of resistance from enslaved African people especially was wrought with extreme violence. I mean, extreme, you know, you have the Ku Klux Klan, you have the Knights of the White Magnolia. I mean, for black people to resist on a whole front the institution of enslavement would have been dire consequences, even though there's this idea that on a plantation, you have a couple white people, and then the rest are enslaved Africans, right? And a lot of my students, even, one of their main questions about enslavement has to do with the fact that, you know, why didn't black people fight back, right? The overwhelming narrative is that somehow white Americans were able to keep black people in captivity for over 400 years, that basically exploited their labor to such an extent. I mean, enslaved Africans built the White House. They built the majority of the structure and infrastructure in this country, all of which they were never paid. And at the same time, they were never paid for their labor. They were also, women were extremely, you know, raped. There was sexual violence. I mean, it was a very awful institution. So for him to try to take it on and then to make some aspects of that institution humorous was really, really a bold, bold type move. But there are some, of the scenes that where Tarantino does this in the film were quite funny to me.
Yeah, they were.
Like there's a scene, and again, the Ku Klux Klan is not formed yet when Tarantino starts the film off. So he has a lot of loose history in there.
creative licensing, he takes
a lot of creative license with accurate history, right? So he has the Klan. Who I think Don Johnson, they call him Big Daddy in the film.
Yeah, but it's not Don Johnson, though.
But it looks like Don Johnson.
It looks like
him,
but it's not him.
Well, it's Don Johnson to me. But anyway, he looked just like Don Johnson. But he's the main enslaver in the main plantation who they refer to as Big Daddy. I mean, that's disgusting. But again, that's Tarantino trying to bring up all the atrocities that were associated with the institution. And so they go out to try and get Django, Jamie Foxx, and the dentist, and they have these white hoods on, and they start getting mad at each other because they can't see out the white hoods.
Yeah, because one of the other Klan's members, his wife, you know, this homemaking wife, decided to make the hoods for the Klan. And so they take these pillowcases, and she cuts the eye holes crooked, and... like,
and so they can't see, and then so they're arguing around their garments, right? They're arguing over something so simple as a garment and what they should wear to go and terrorize, go and murder someone, essentially, right? But it seems like that may have, not that it was a conversation, but it could have been a conversation. I mean, the fact that Tarantino just does that, I mean, that conversation around the white hood and the holes and we can't see, that's very humorous, goes on for a good 10 minutes, right? And so I know that some audiences might have came in to see the film and felt like, oh, you're making a mockery of enslavement. You're making it seem like people in the Ku Klux Klan were funny, that they were comedic. And it's like, no, he's not really doing that. Again, when I even teach stuff like this at the university level, when I teach about sexism and racism, I insert humor to a lot of these things, right? Because you have to point out the absurdity that is a part of racism, right? Again, racism, sexism, homophobia, these things are not logical processes of thought, okay? These things are taught and socialized. They're not real. So again, there was a racist idea that black people had smaller brains. Does that make sense? Isn't that kind of funny? Or that let's put on these white hoods and go all 15 of us and murder one dude. I mean, do you look like the fool? I mean, are you somehow supposed to be showing your brute masculine strength when it's 25 people and one dude? So, I mean, different isms are very absurd and ridiculous. And I think that Tarantino using instances like this throughout the film and making them humorous was his way of poking at how absurd black people in captivity for over 400 years was, right? Whether it was in the West, whether it was here in the South, I mean, whatever it is. And he goes from the West to, you know, the South and Mississippi and these types of things. But again, I mean, Django kills so many enslavers in this film. And he doesn't just kill them, like shoot them in the head. I mean, he brutalizes them. He brutalizes them, right? And, you know, it's something that... I mean, I loved it. I mean, there's one scene where he blows up a plantation. I mean, I just thought it was glorious, and I thought that it was something where it was almost like a I don't know, like Lone Ranger, a black enslaved Lone Ranger.
But see, for me, I viewed the movie through a different lens. So I knew there was all this hype about it being placed during time of enslavement and A, B, and C, but I simply saw it as a very kind of classic, if you will, love story and an action movie, right? So, when I was telling someone else, this movie could have been placed during the cowboy days. It could have been in the days of the ninjas in China. You know, it could have been put in the 1970s with some blaxploitation actor. But so it was just a classic kind of hero movie. I mean, you essentially have Django who wants to get back his wife who's been sold to another plantation, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it was like a damsel in distress film. And so I don't know. I feel like it could have been placed in any time period, you know, enslavement aside, and it would have been just
Definitely. So I don't know why he decides to choose it then, because, and keep in mind too, the Django series was a Western series in the 60s, and they were known as spaghetti Westerns, which I just think is like so ridiculous. Why do they call them that? Because again, most of these Westerns, particularly with Sergio Leone's westerns that showcased Clint Eastwood in the 60s. They were called spaghetti westerns because they were all shot in Italy. I mean, it's like so ridiculous. I mean, isn't that offensive? Well, I mean, I would be offended.
It's very tongue-in-cheek.
Is that funny? That's not funny to me. If I was Italian, I'd be feeling the type of way. But anyway.
Are Italians offended by spaghetti?
I don't know.
Or do they make it?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, are they going to call, if it was a set on the continent, would it be chicken? Would it be chicken?
Because they eat chicken in Africa.
I'm just saying. Would it be fufu?
It would be goat.
Fufu films?
It would be goat.
Oxtail films? I mean, that's racist. I just feel like no. But anyway, I was talking to my dad about it this morning. I was like, spaghetti, really? I mean, I just think it's ridiculous. That's not funny. But anyway, and the fact that Tarantino takes this original character that's white in these films and then just makes the character black and then sets it that the revenge tale is based on not just the damsel in distress and not just these, but also on the institution of enslavement. Because again, most of the people that Jamie Foxx ends up killing have done something along the way for him to even find his bride, right? So the overseer that he kills first, he killed him so exquisitely and beautifully because he was trying to convince him to whip him in replace of his wife, remember? And he goes, I love the way you beg, boy. And so when Jamie Foxx starts whipping him, he's like, I love the way you die. You know, I mean, it's great. I mean, his lines are great. I mean, Jamie Foxx, I mean, I just wanted him to be my friend at the end of the movie. I just wanted to, like, ride off into sunset and go and kill all the enslavers. I mean, I just really, really enjoyed it. But a lot of the reviews from it, they say, you know, Tarantino, his use of the N-word is excessive. And, you know, he uses it a lot, but again, one is the time period, too.
Yeah, his characters use it. He himself doesn't use it in the movie, but his characters.
Yeah, his characters end up using it, and they feel like, oh, well, you just want to say the N-word and this and the third, and, you know, maybe he wants to, maybe he doesn't. You know, I don't really care about all that. My interest in it was it so inaccurate when it came to ideas of enslavement? Was it so inaccurate when it came to the ideas of the West or black people in the West? And it wasn't. And if you go to see the film and think you're going to see, like, some kind of documentary about enslavement?
See, that's the thing. People went to go see that new Lincoln movie. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, why was so-and-so so light? Why was Frederick Douglass so light-skinned? You know, and this was not a movie that was supposed to be a documentary. It was not supposed to be some kind of, storytelling, history-telling feature. It was a feature film for entertainment purposes. Mm-hmm. The same way, and this is my problem with the people who come to this movie being so critical. In the same way that to some folks, the whole concept of the TV show Scandal that we watch, and we love Scandal. I mean, it seems really absurd to some people. You have a black woman in the White House having an affair with the white president and A, B, and C. So again, why are we allowed creative licensing and kind of these liberties and hyperbole when it comes to things that are designed by black people? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I just feel like black people need to learn how to go watch movies. Don't just watch a movie sometimes. You know, because you and I watch everything with a very critical eye. We can't hardly watch The Housewives of this city or The Basketball Wives of that city without being very critical, but it's like, we actually had a good time. And I very rarely stay awake in a movie.
No,
and I stay awake almost 3 hours.
Yeah, and I think it's really, really...
And, the best part, Jamie Foxx gets naked.
Oh, my God.
They hate this man. Let me tell y'all something. y'all know I very rarely queen out on the air, but let me tell y'all something. I got to deepen my voice.
Okay.
Jamie Foxx, they hang this man upside down by his toes, strip him butt naked, and they, long story short, they act as if they're going to cut off his genitalia, but this man is hanging butt naked from the ceiling in all his glory. If that don't deserve two thumbs up... the black people with the whole child, if you can't go see Jamie, and then
oh my goodness, but he's like in a enslaved hole, like, yeah, it's very biased, very up. Look at that, nevertheless.
You know, and then for those who are of the Lesbian persuasion, Kerry Washington, they show her topless, you know.
Oh, they do.
So my thing is, I don't care if you want Jamie Foxx, Kerry Washington, child, you get a little bit of TNA and D, you know. So my thing is, child, two thumbs up is how I feel.
Well, I mean,
I can't wait for the sequel.
I mean, it most certainly was
Django Untucked.
I mean, it was most certainly, I felt like, entertaining. But, you know, and again, like, everybody's like, yo, you know, I want to know what you think about it. And I was like really expecting to have all this stuff to say
outraged,
and like really be outraged. And I just wasn't. I mean, I was taking notes the whole time I was in the theater. And, you know, to try and point out inaccuracies and those types of things. And then what ended up happening is I ended up getting into the story, which I liked because I love damsel in distress stories. I mean, I'm so into that. You know what I mean? And so, like, I liked that. I mean, Washington doesn't have hardly any lines in the story. And she doesn't have this kind of full... character development, but at the same time, do women in Westerns have character development? So I think there's a lot of traditional elements that are part of Tarantino's film that people are kind of citing and pointing out as like, well, see, Washington didn't say nothing in the film. And it's like, well, Westerns, women really aren't there. Okay. They're just like making bread or prostitutes in the brothel. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? I've never really seen a Western where women are, you know, toting guns.
Any kind of action movie, unless it's starring Angelina Jolie or some kind of a female in that lead role, really no action or no thriller has a woman. Yeah. You know, she's the wife.
And I think, and then to be honest, the character itself, anybody could have played Django's wife. The reason why Tarantino uses Washington is because she's a relatively familiar face that people think is very sexy. So again, if there's no understanding of why he loves her so much and why he's going through all this to get her back, what you do understand is that he married to Gary Washington. I'm gonna go through hell and high water to get to her.
I just feel like, I mean, I know that you have quite a bit to say about this topic. I know I haven't weighed in very much, but my feeling is, I mean, I literally came away from the movie with, you know, very little to offer to this conversation because I really just enjoyed it as a feature film.
Yeah.
You know, and there's many, many things in media and television and pop culture that I do have critiques of, but for this, it was just a movie. And I feel like, the only time that black people go watch a movie and don't try to read anything into it, if it's some kind of like Friday or some kind of like, again, black people feel like if it's a black movie and it's not a comedy, then we have to evaluate it. You know, for example, did people come out of Friday with some kind of critique of marijuana or critique of the inner city ghetto or critique of baby mamas? No, we go and we laugh, right? We walk away from it. The only other time that black people critique, you know, these, so I just feel like, those of y'all who are blogging about this stuff and writing about it and have all this in such an uproar, it doesn't feel like, child, y'all just need to take a chill pill and just enjoy the movie for what it was. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
You know, it simply was a really good film. I can't come with a single criticism of it. I just really can't, you know.
Well, I don't have any criticisms.
Yeah, not saying you. Yeah. I'm talking about the children who are up in arms.
But the reason why I have so much to say about
and
this is because again, I teach this for a living.
No,
I know, but I'm saying that I don't think people should stop talking about it. I don't think that black people shouldn't evaluate films unless they're not comedy. Like, again, I don't agree with that. I feel like everything that has black people on it, we need to look at it with some kind of critical lens. I feel like that's everything. There's essays about Friday. There's essays about Martin, the show Martin, and about how Gina's role in that and all that kind of stuff. So again, like, media depictions of black life and black people, right? Especially when I have students who say, you know what? I'm 25 years old, and you're the first black person I've met ever in my life.
Yeah, but from my perspective, that's different.
I don't care what white people I'm saying think about black people, right? But what I do care about is I don't like inaccuracy. I don't like inaccuracy around ideas of racism, sexism, enslavement, those types of things. You know what I mean? And, you know, I just don't. Like, so again, if it was a gay film, I'd be just as critical. If it was a film about women, I'd be just as critical. You know, I just think that these communities, you know, white filmmakers and white Hollywood have no idea what lives of women, black people, and gay people are really like. And so when they decide to take that on and say, yeah, we kind of do think we do, or at least we've done research for the film to do, I feel like it's important to talk about.
And I feel that, and I think that's true, but let me give you another example. So Wesley Snipes, A Vampire in Brooklyn. There were people looking at that like, well, this is not how real black vampires in Brooklyn. You know, so again, just because a black person's in the movie don't mean we evaluate it as to how this represents black life.
But the only reason why they did that was because, did people go see that?
That's not my point. My point is this, and I'll just put it down sharply. I feel like a lot of these voices of dissent on this movie are the same people who sing the same sad song. You know, we have certain people that we know that are always critical, are always negative, are always, you know, like sometimes, in other words, some people feel like it's their role to always be a critic. Not to evaluate, not to be a critic, like to look at something with a critical eye, but to always criticize something and always talk about why it's bad.
Yeah.
Whether it's Martin, The Housewives, Django, President Obama, Oprah Winfrey, the same voices are always going to be critical because they're always going to say about why what you did is not authentically black or why it was not, you know, accurate. You know, it's just for like, some people need to take a chill pill, watch a good movie. And, you know, my thing is, if y'all not going to criticize A Vampire in Brooklyn, if you don't criticize Princess Tiana, Princess and the Frog, so was that accurate as to how frog princes are. And you know, so
well, certain was accurate when it came to African religion, not a Vodou.
Yeah, but again, it was purely for entertainment. That's all, you know.
No, and I mean, I understand that. I mean, but again, you know me, I'm way too serious anyway. And I needed to see it because, one, I told you, I like Sam Jackson as an actor. I like Quentin Tarantino as a director, only from Pulp Fiction. Oh, that's my favorite. But I lived, and yeah. I wanted to see what Jamie Foxx was giving. I think he's a great actor.
Say that,
I
think Kerry Washington. What he was what?
What he was giving.
Out of them underwear.
No, I was not. I'm not interested. I was wanting to see Kerry Washington and her little parakeet face, you know, and what she was doing, and she was a doll. I mean, she was a baby doll. You know, so, I mean, I liked it. I liked the film.
Do you think they left the movie open for a sequel? Because you mentioned that it was initially a series of books. Series of films. Do you think it was ended in such a way? Because I thought it was interesting. It was called Django Unchained, as opposed to just calling the movie Django.
I agree.
Which might, you know, maybe leads me to believe it might be a Django Part 2. And
I mean, there's certainly room for it. I mean, because again, if he starts out Django as an enslavement, then what about having with sharecropping, the Great Migration, new Negro?
Yeah, maybe he'll go throughout history. Maybe it'll be like Back to the Future, where he like travels
basically
throughout different historical
and
periods.
And is a black hero during the different times, like civil rights. So he going to be the one who killed King. He going to kill him up. The one who got Malcolm, he going to get him too. I would be down to watch that.
That would be a cute new superhero chain of films.
Yeah, because I really felt like it was this idea of a revisionist history of like, what if Turner was successful? Yeah. What if Turner didn't get murdered, right? What would happen? And I'm like, I'm all for it, you know? So, I mean, I like it. I feel like people could go see it and relax And you know, you don't got to get, you know, mad. I mean, they gonna say the N-word. You're going to see black people getting whipped. You're going to see black people speaking in black English vernacular, which makes some African-Americans uncomfortable. But again, like, this is the reality of an institution. This is also why students don't want to take intro to PAS, because they don't want to talk about enslavement. You know, even my dad, he was like, you know, sometimes I don't want to go to the black past. And I feel that.
All right. So that's our two cents. You tell us yours. Tweet us at Strange Fruit Pod. Put it on our Facebook page. You know what we think. What do you think? Did you enjoy the movie? Did you enjoy Jamie Foxx, Kerry Washington, naked? Let us know what you think.
Oh my God, no one enjoyed them naked.
Enjoy them naked.
Okay.
So this was a show full of hot topics today. We hope that you enjoyed this bit of juicy fruit. As always, let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what's juicy in your life. Be sure to join us next week for more exciting topics and individuals. And, of course, we'll be here. Last show we had talked about our wishes for one another for the new year.
Okay.
But you said you don't have any resolutions this year, right?
No. I'm not. I don't like resolutions because it makes me feel like I'm telling myself what to do. And I don't really like to be told what to do, except in certain places.
Except by me.
except by you. No.
When I give you orders.
No. You don't give me orders. No. Yeah. So only in certain places. Thank you.
Nasty. All right. So that's Strange Fruit for this week, and we'll see y'all next week. Listen, y'all, make sure you check out Django. Jamie Foxx is naked. We'll see you next time.
Oh, my God.
Bye.
Goodbye. Oh my God, Jamie Foxx is naked. I love that you keep talking about the movie.
That's all I care about the entire movie.
Strange Fruit is produced by 89.3 WFPL in Louisville, Kentucky. Our producer is Laura Ellis. The views we and our guests express on Strange Fruit don't reflect those of WFPL, Louisville Public Media, its staff, or its underwriters.
For more information on Strange Fruit, go to WFPL.org, find us on Facebook, or visit us on Twitter at Strange Fruit Pod. I'm Jason Gardner.
And I'm Kyla Story. Thanks for listening.